I'm Laura Boosinger, and we're going down the road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina, home to a rich heritage of America's traditional music. The Blue Ridge Music Trails works to share the stories of traditional music in the mountains and foothills of western North Carolina. Music has always played an important role in the life of the region, and in this episode, we're highlighting a unique historical music venue in Black Mountain. Catherine Debro was the granddaughter of Horace Chambers Rutherford, the proprietor of Roseland Gardens, a juke joint, store, theater, and a place of lodging in Black Mountain in the early part of the 20th century. Roseland Gardens had a jukebox, but also featured live music, often from popular local groups, but also from touring musicians like the legendary blues singer Bessie Smith, who even recorded a song entitled Black Mountain Blues, which was possibly inspired by her time in Black Mountain. We are sharing with you portions of an oral history recorded with Catherine on October 10, 2001. This interview is part of the collection of the Swannanoa Valley Museum and History Center. Catherine explained how her grandmother met her grandfather.
During the time that my grandmother came here, Montreat, Ridgecrest, and Blue Ridge, the tourists that came from all over had servants with them, cooks, chauffeurs, house servants, maids, whatever. My grandmother was a professional cook. She graduated from Bethune-Cookman College. That's someplace in Florida, I believe. And she was employed by a family as their cook. And she traveled all over with them. And so this particular summer, she came to Montreat with them and met my grandfather, the dashing handsome guy that he was. He was quite handsome when he showed up. And they met, and I'm assuming they fell in love and got married, and she stayed here. So my grandfather, that old building that's out there that you park next to, was Roseland Gardens, and he operated that. That's what was his business. He had a juke joint. So people came from all over the area. And so I imagine my grandmother came down for a little entertainment and met the local catch. I'm sure they didn't call it that during those days, because that building was built in, let's see, around 1918, I believe, I was told. And so it's still standing there. And so they must have gotten married somewhere along that time. He must have been in the process of building that.
Catherine described Horace as a businessman with special influence in the community.
I remember my grandfather had a sign on the door on the juke joint.
There's much in there. It's taken a while.
Right.
Sign on the door, yes. He had a sign that he kept on his front door, on the door of that building out there, that said, "The good doctor is in." So when the place was open, that sign was there. And when he would leave, he would flip that sign around and said, "The good doctor is out." So that's what made me think that, well, now maybe he was selling a little corn liquor, because, you know, the old folks always called their little tastes medicine.
Yeah.
And especially for that hangover that they had the day after.
Right.
So he would be open all day, and sometimes my grandmother would make sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would be hot, sometimes they would be cold. Sometimes she would make complete meals that they would sell out there. So they had that kind of boarding house thing, as well as selling the beer. And he had a jukebox that kept all the latest music on. And of course, that was my thrill, because I loved to dance. And so did everybody else in Black Mountain. So everybody in Black Mountain came to this place. The name of it was Roseland Gardens. And that's why I have that sign in the front, trying to preserve a little bit of the history. Everybody came here to dance. And I do mean everybody that lived in the community. They came to drink beer, and they came to dance, because you can talk to any person in Black Mountain that's my age or a little bit older, and they will say, "Your grandfather had the best music in town." They all love to come here and dance.
So black and white?
Black and white.
Really?
Always. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So that's why I've always said Black Mountain was very unique in that respect, because there was a camaraderie, if you will, between the people, because they had to help support each other. And so I think that still, some of that same feeling still remains here to a certain degree, especially among the older people, and I think they passed that on to the younger generation to a certain extent. Lawrence Brown was still the sheriff of Buncombe County. and he and my grandfather were very good friends. As a matter of fact, the local story is that Sheriff Brown controlled the Caucasian community, and my grandfather was the sheriff in the black community. I always find that very interesting. And my grandfather always wore 245s strapped. And he was also known to be quite a character in terms of no fighting.
Bessie Smith was one of the more famous acts to play Roseland Gardens, but local musicians also provided live music.
I don't remember the names of any of them. It seems to me like sometimes my grandfather would have someone come from, like, the Glen Alpine area if there were, you know, maybe a local group of people that would get together. And they were probably well-known because I can remember that he would always have a sign printed when he was going to have a dance and put it all over the various communities so that people would know that there was going to be a live band that night.
Roseland Gardens also provided daytime entertainment for the younger citizens of the community as a theater.
It was also a theater. I don't want to leave that out. On Fridays and Saturdays, the kids could go to a theater. He would rent films. The old projector is still there. The holes that he had cut in the wall for the projector to go through to the screen, you can still see it in the building. And the place that he had built so that the front of the building appeared like an actual theater, the little box where the woman sits to sell the tickets, that was all glass and closed. And you could walk up there and buy your tickets to go in the theater and also to go into the dance.
Four tickets, how much did they cost?
Oh gosh, I think they were probably about 10 cents, 15 cents when I was a kid. And that was to see the movie. Because he actually rented these movies. I remember they came in those huge reels and in big tin cans. And so every week he would get a new series. So we were watching Roy Rogers and Red Rider and The Phantom. And
in addition to Roseland Gardens, at least two other juke joints also provided entertainment for the community.
So my grandfather wasn't the only one that had a juke joint here. At the end of that bridge that's on East Street, Mr. Joe Long, he has some family that still lives on that side on East Street. He had a little concrete building over there where he had a little juke joint in there. This was nothing as fancy as what my grandfather had. He had a jukebox and a very small area where maybe three or four couples could dance. Oh, and there was one other one I forgot about. Miss Fanny McLean. Now, she was known for her cooking. So there were, between her and my grandfather, they captured most of the people that would come to the juke joints. And her place was, I don't even remember what they called the names of these places. I was just a little bit too young to remember. But hers was, the Patillas live on East Street, and there's a vacant lot. And in that vacant lot, that was where Miss McLean had her juke joint. So there's quite a bit of activity going on around here in the early 1920s. The other three places closed down. But then, of course, when my mother was operating this one in the late 50s, 60s, and 70s. It was still there.
Catherine shared the story of the first time she was allowed in Roseland Gardens.
I was 12. And, of course, I was highly supervised. But I did get to go in and dance and for a little while and hang out with the grown-ups and sit at the bar. And then it was time for me to go back in and go to bed. So I spent most of my time in the back of this house. It was quite different then. And it had windows that swung out. It was kind of like a sunroom in the back of the house. And I spent most of my time hanging out the window looking at the people that were out there dancing and having a good time.
Horace Rutherford operated Roseland Gardens as long as he was able. And then his daughter, Catherine's mother, Peggy Rutherford, took over.
My grandfather maintained that business up until the point that he was unable to work when he became ill. And that was in that would have been around 1959, I think. And, see, my mother and my stepfather moved to Cleveland around 53. But when my grandfather became ill, my mother moved back here to take care of her mother and father. And so then she started to operate the juke joint.
Finally, Catherine shared what was so special about the juke joints.
the old juke joints were the best places to have fun. Boy, we danced, and dancing was a thing. I mean, the music of that era. And that was a way to let off steam. It was better than fighting. I love to dance.
Cat Debrow passed away in March of 2023, and Roseland Gardens was torn down in 2015. But thanks to this oral history, the story of Roseland Gardens and its place in the community lives on.
Down the road he comes to the turn, rocks in a road as big as a churn. Down the road, I've got a sugar baby down the road.
On the Blue Ridge Music Trails is brought to you by the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, the North Carolina Arts Council, and WNCW-FM.